All right, let's get into a little movie review time here as I
All right.
get my coffee ready, my pour over coffee, which by the way, the water was on propane, so we're making our coffee with propane this morning. Let's talk about Mad Max and There Will Be Blood. One of the things I found funny about Mad Max was it almost seemed like a infomercial for Peak Oil, which never happened, but it's certainly it's a fun movie to think about. You know, what would you do without oil and gas? And when you start thinking about the basic transportation on how, you know, oil becomes the new commodity. You know, we used to fight wars over salt because we wanted to preserve food, basically. So you think about how our priorities shift and how our needs as a society shift. That was my takeaway from Mad Max, was that it was a great movie, but at the same time, it almost seemed like it was a little bit of propaganda to Peak Oil, I guess, was kind of my thought. What did you think of that movie?
Well, I think that's what they intended, and I think they failed miserably because on the one hand, they started out and they start out the movie and they show basically exactly what you said, the oil wars that are taking place. And let's be honest, we have fought wars over oil, and wars have been dependent upon oil. I mean, that is one thing that makes Kansas the most historic state when it comes to World War I. During World War I, Stapleton Number One was hit in 1915. And when Stapleton Number One was hit, it started an oil boom that took place here. Between 1915 and 1919, one county in Kansas, Butler County, Kansas, where I live in El Dorado, that one county in Kansas produced 9% of the world's oil. Not 9% of Kansas, not 9% of America, 9% of the world's oil. And literally, you can look at World War I in a lot of different ways, but it came down to whichever side ran out of oil first lost. And that 9% of oil that was found in Butler County put the Allies over the top and led us to outlasting the Germans when it came to oil production and being able to fight that battle. So oil has been a part of our life for a long time, and it's been a historic part, especially when it comes to wars, when it comes to modern military innovation. It's certainly part of it. And that's where the movie starts. And it kind of escalates that to where we go into a nuclear fallout and everything's destroyed. And so basically, they set up the idea that this apocalypse was caused by oil, is the idea that they're trying to throw out there. But then the rest of the movie, they basically just repeat over and over, but you can't live without it because the entire movie revolves around people trying to find oil that's left over, trying, and you look at what they're wearing. They're wearing shoulder pads that come from football, helmets that come from hockey. They're wearing all this stuff that was made out of oil that they're having to recycle and keep on. And so it's funny to me how so many of these apocalyptic movies, they try and show how oil is going to end the world, but every single one of them, you watch it afterwards, and all it does is show that if you want to have a cool movie, you still got to have the oil somewhere involved in the rest of the movie. And that's really what I saw from Mad Max, is that, that oil and natural gas, we cannot contrive, we cannot come up with a way to be able to maintain the lifestyles that we have today with the products, the services, and everything else without oil. And we can't do it re in reality, and we can't even do it in fantasy, because even in fantasy, everything in that movie is still dependent upon oil.
Talking about some movie reviews, if you can check out Paramount Plus, The Crude Life has a content distribution deal with them where you can get a promo code if you'd like to check it out. And one of the movies available, I know for sure, on Paramount Plus, because a lot of times, in fact, it's August 1st while we're recording this, and there's a whole bunch of new ones now today, and there a bunch of ones retired yesterday. So I know the Big Lebowski is no longer on Peacock. So it's one of my favorite movies, Big Lebowski. But when I take a look at There Will Be Blood, that's generally considered in the top five of oil and gas movies. A lot of people's number one. My takeaway from There Will Be Blood was not this, you know, gregarious, ruthless, cantankerous and oil tycoon, although that is an important part of the movie, is the building of a community. That's what I saw was the down and dirty building of a community, because there was different elements brought in, the safety factors. Yeah, they showed how some original blowouts happened and how some people, I grew up in agriculture, so I'm kind of used to that, you know, type of a thing there. At the end of the year, did we have more people die or do we have more people live, type of a thing? Sometimes that's the way life is, especially when you're building a community. One of the things with the oil and gas industry that I always found fascinating was the introduction of the spiritual element. Because when you bring, whether it's building a railroad or it's building a community based on oil and gas, when you get a lot of guys together, they like to drink together, they like to gamble together, they like to sin together. When a preacher came around, it changed everything. You know, and that was the one element that, whether it's the railroad or oil and gas or whatever it is, it brought in a family element to where the people naturally self-corrected themselves. They weren't forced to. They all of a sudden thought of their family, whether they had one back home or they wanted to have one. They thought about something more than just the bottom of that glass. Talk to me. That was my biggest takeaway from There Will Be Blood, actually, was it showed how you can bring different elements into a community and create a positive community. Even though the movie wasn't veered as the most positive movie, that was really my takeaway, was it showed how an oil and gas company can create a community that is thriving, that ends up being positive, that ends up doing a lot of good for other people in the end. So what was your takeaway from There Will Be Blood? And if you want to comment on my observation, feel free.
No, I think your observation is very good. My takeaway was, first of all, you have to realize that we're looking at a movie that's set in a specific time and place in history. And that time and place cannot be judged by the standards that we have today. And the time and place in which that There Will Be Blood was set, you know, the late 1800s, early 1900s, you're talking about a time in America where business was brutal. There were not the oversights, there were not the you know, the insurances, the labor unions, there was not the OSHA, none of these regulatory practices that were in place to govern business. And so business as a whole was a very ruthless endeavor. In fact, a lot of people don't know that the very first oil and gas, or the first oil pipeline that was ever built by Rockefeller, was built because of this brutalness of the business. He had that up until that point, he was producing oil, he was shipping it on trains, and those trains were going all over the East Coast. Well, the Commodore and the other train titans all got together and they're like, we're hauling all of Rockefeller's oil and he's making a killing off of us. So let's stick it to him. Let's all raise our price and stick it to Rockefeller so that we can make more money and we'll diminish his assets. Well, Rockefeller just refuses to play ball with them. So what does he do? He starts building a pipeline to get his oil from his refinery down to a barge so that he can ship them by water instead of shipping them by rail. And so that's the setting in which There Will Be Blood is set, where business as a whole was a very ruthless endeavor. And the spiritual aspect that you're talking about coming into it, that was really the only governing factor during that period of time that governed business practice, is when a moral perspective could be brought into that business and enterprise so that people did act better, so that bosses acted better, employees acted better, other people acted better. And that was really the only governance over business practices back in those days, besides directly illegal activity. That was really the only governance. And so I think when you look at There Will Be Blood, you can't look at it from the lens of where we are today and the way business is done today. You have to look at it through that perspective of how business was done during that period of time. And you see a really extraordinary event. You also see how far the oil and gas industry has come from then until now. You know, for instance, when Rockefeller first started pulling oil out of the ground, what they generally just threw the gasoline away. They just washed the gasoline away because they had no idea what to do with it. It was too volatile. All they wanted was the kerosene. And now we use every molecule that comes in a barrel of oil to where there's no waste. There's no environmental danger from, you know, stuff like that being disposed of in an appropriate way. So the industry has come a very, very long ways, but it started out and it was rough. It was tough. And it was, you know, not exactly the cleanest and most environmentally friendly industry at that point in time. But I think there's another lesson that goes with that. And that's if you're looking at that and you see how far we've come from then until now, where now if you have a blowout, that is a huge, huge deal. Now, back then, you had a blowout. They were dancing around and celebrating it. you know, it's a big difference. It's a big change. I think there's also a point to be made about renewable sources of energy that are coming online now. It took a long, long time for the oil and gas industry to permeate our society to the extent that it has, to get to the point where we could use every molecule that's in a barrel of oil. It took a long time to develop those processes. And I think that that's an important point to take into account when we're looking at new fuels that are coming on, new additional energy sources that are coming along, is it's not going to be a light switch that you can just flip and go from one to the other. Because the technology is not there for any other source to be able to replace oil at this point in time in our history. And we have to understand that, and I think that's part of that logical conversation of where does oil and gas fit in our present and in our future really comes in.
Warren Martin with Kansas Strong, thank you very much for the time today.
Oh, thank you, sir.